So I think it's I've been granted for something because I always make a lot of noise back there. I like to sit on the back row. So now they put me up front back over here. So that's how it goes. Aldo, you're next, okay? I always sit over there with Aldo, and I'm always teasing the kids. So being here is like a little different. I want to give thanks for the opportunity of sharing the word, as I was saying. I asked what will be a good subject, but they said whatever it's in your heart, whatever God puts in your heart, and that's when we get in trouble most of that time. So I want to talk a little bit about our friends. Friends, friendship, or friends, right? There's when we always said among us that when we have a need, when we have a necessity or something comes up, we just go to God, and we're just big liars on that. Because the first thing we do is go to our friends where something is happening, and the first thing we do is just get the phone and call our friends, right? Because they're the ones who are always the ones who are always with us, or they're the ones who understand what we are going to say, or we feel that we're not going to get judged on that sense. There was one time when I recently met Lisbeth. She saw me and she said, "Oh, my friend." And I was like, "Oh, she called me friend," you know? And we don't realize that it's a big word. It's a great privilege to have friends because not many people has them, you know? Or if you can count with the palm of your hand, like five friends at least, you are rich on that, you know? No, it's not that easy. Let's go to the word. Let's see some characteristics of friendship or friends, or a friend, matter of fact. Let's go to Proverbs 27:9. The girls make me promise I will be quick, so I'll do my best, because we want to enjoy the rest of the day, right? So, Proverbs 27:9. Are we there? Okay. So it says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad." By the way, I'm using ESV, English Standard Version. I think it's easier for me to read and not with a big accent, but I like this version, so I hope you enjoy it too. So Proverbs 27:9, it says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." By earnest, we understand it's just someone who is there. His heart is engaged to our heart, right? Then it's sincere, with sincere intention. That's the real meaning. Let's go now to Proverbs 17:17, please. And it says, "A friend loves all the time, and a brother is born in born for adversity." Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves all the times, right? No matter how you are behaving, no matter how situation you're going through, he will be there because he is a real friend, right? But not only that, a brother, when a friend becomes your brother, and he is with you through adversities, he becomes your brother. He's right there. We call him, you know, friend, compadre, or, you know, Paul. I call the girls dude. And then we go to, please, Proverbs 18:24. So it says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, But there is a friend who's still closer than a brother. Closer than a brother. We may have a lot of friends and work, you know, at work in different places. When everything goes well, things are pretty cool, right? So these supposedly friends, they stick to us. But then, if something gets a little not too comfortable, that's when we run away, right? And or they run away, and that's when a real friend comes through, because he stick with you. He goes through the Charlie was talking about the valley of shadows. Even through those situations, we feel that's pretty dark sometimes, but they are there. We're close with us, right? So now, as we see those characteristics on the good friends. Let's see a little bit of the not so trustable friends, right? That are base world friends, right? Base world, because they will go, they will come to you. But those friend world friends, let me see if I can get the meaning. Those friends will be stick or will come when things from the world gets, that's what they attract them, right? That's when we have parties, they're there. We have reunions, we have food, we are there. And I'm not saying it's a wrong thing, right? But what I'm saying is that we need to identify the real good friends that we have to appreciate, right? And not the ones that they look just for the things of the world. The friends that they make you grow, they lift you up, they build each other. I always said on my in my prayers, I like to say, iron sharpens iron. Those are the friends we would like to have in our lives, right? So please forgive me if I do some rumbling here. Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man expresses strife, and a whisper separates close friends. So those who don't like to have, those who they don't want to see you associate with good people, those are the ones who will start the whispering, the talking, and it will be so soft, so tender, that it will be hard for you to discern. We have to be careful for who we let in our lives or in our heart. We have to use our spirit and discern the sense of those people. What are they looking for? Are they real being honest? Are they being really, building my life? Are they contributing to my life? Not only my life, but my godly life. How much are they contributing to that, right? Because we don't want to be carried on from our loving from God to the things of the world. That's how we know how godly is that friendship, right? Let's go, please, to James 4:4. And James is known by for his, warnings, right? James talks really serious stuff when he speaks. So James 4:4, are we there yet? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm talking to professionals this morning. So let's see. This is why I was thinking, it says, you're adulterers. Well, that's what it says in my Bible. I hope yours is a little softer. You're adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So the most important thing is to not be carried on by the things of the world, right? Yes, we can enjoy and have friendship and companions and go along, but at the same time trying to discern, right? Where is it carrying this friendship? Where is it carrying us to, right? And there's the other part, it says, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself enemy of God. right? We have to be careful of how much are we enjoying. I'm not saying the things of the world are bad, because that's, since we start fellowship and things in the house, I heard the girls say, oh, fellowship kind of sucks. But no, it's not that way. We love to share the good things, the sweetness that God has blessed for us. But it's not that we are going to put apart the things of the world. It's just that we are trying to do an adjustment, a balance on all those situations, right? We enjoy pajamas party. We enjoy parties. But we also have to have run our hearts and remind ourselves about the love of God. So we have those things, base world friends, and then we're going on to the things that, we have to be careful for not going on to the things that take you away from the God, from God's purpose. Now, who did Jesus call friends? Huh? Interesting, right? So, let me tell you something about friendship. A friend is a person who one knows and with whom one has bond of mutual affection. Related to a kin, it's an advisor, a counsel, a consulting, a companion. It's not only every, I mean, it's not just any other person, right? It also has personal for us is personal affection, a BF, a close friend, a comrade, a shadow, he sticks to you, right? He's part of a family also. They stick and your mom wants to pray away and he's still coming back. He's a friend and then he's also amigo and also compadre, right? A friend is usually linked to one with loyalty, right? The Greek word, it says, unless my dictionary was wrong, I think we're good. Philos, which is phi and then los, philos is primarily an adjective, denoting love, dear, or friendly. It's used 54 times in the Bible. Friends, the word friend. Look how low is the times. It's really little. 54 times the word friend. 49 times the word friends. And then friendly, only 3 times. And you don't want to know. Those are bad explanations of friendly, right? And then 2 times about friendships. And those 2 times, the friendship is with the world. So that's how it got twisted by the enemy. The friendships have been gotten so into economic stuff or so into necessity that we do things because we don't trust in the Lord. He is our fulfiller, right? We should trust more than, instead of just going because of monetary stuff or because of need. I understand that those come sometimes, but God, He's our main provider. He is the one who supplies, and we should be trusted that those friends that they don't share our own belief, it's not sometimes so needed because they're carrying it away, right? But let's see. Excuse me, I only have like 4 more pages, okay? So, let's see. We were talking about Jesus called, who did he call his friends, right? Let's go to John, please. The Gospel of John, 15. One of the things that I like about being on the Word is that I can trust an advices from people that has been in the world from long time. One day we were going to have a reunion with the women, and then Mike approached me and then he said, have fun tomorrow at your fellowship. I can have fun. Well, that's awesome, right? So then I told my sister, what do you say, Mariela? She said, thank you, Will, right? That, of course. It's all about that. It's just about enjoying and having fun. We had a blast the next day. That was when Lalian and Lisbeth and Debbie came to visit. It was an awesome fellowship. It was really, really enjoyable, and that's how we cheer and we enjoy the peaceful and the company and the joyful of having each other, right? Lalian gave a great speech today, a great teaching, and all the girls were really, really blessed. I was with the kids, but that's how we build each other. When we share and when we talk about what is going on. So John 15:14. Let's see. I had carry on my conversation. Let's see. So we're going to go into 14:15. It says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." So what do you think about that? If you do what I command you, says Jesus, you are my friend, right? And then it says, he's talking to the disciples, and then he says, "No longer do I call you servants." You are no longer a person of service, right? It says, "For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." So we are friends because we know his mind. Where did he left his mind? In the Gospels. In the Bible, we know what the mind of God is. And we also call him friend, right? "For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Did he keep anything? No. He made it known to us because we, to his disciple first, but then through Paul, everything came, through to for us so that we knew too. And then let's please go to Mark 3:35. And then it says, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." So we are not only friends, but those who make the will of God, we become close to Jesus, right? We become brothers, we become spouses, we become sisters, and also mothers and fathers, right? We are a close family in Christ. We don't have to be seeking in the world because we have everything. He has equipped us with a full handful of brothers and sisters. For me, when someone calls me sister or brothers, I get a little cheeky. I'm like, oh my God. It's exciting. Very, very exciting for me. I'm going to give examples. I'm about to finish pretty soon now, I hope. We're going to read two examples of friendship. One, David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan. I love their friendship, how close they were. But there's a thing when, let's go there, please. 1 Samuel 20. So Saul was persecuting David, right? And Jonathan became his friend. And at a certain point, he knew God would back up David, right? And at some point, he was going to become the king. So 1 Samuel. I don't think my Bible. This is a new Bible, so I don't think it has it. I'm trying. Excuse me. Okay. So, they said, "Don't get nervous. You're just with Frankie." Okay. So, 1 Samuel 20:15, it says, from the 14. This is a conversation between David and Jonathan. Liz shared with us on, in one of her teachings about the link of our soul to our friends, right? I want to see it too from the point she shared from the guard, the friend, I'm not sure what it is in English, the friend who was helping him, and he was fighting with him. He stuck with him until the end. But I want to see it from the point of the friendship of David and Jonathan. On number 14, they're talking about how Jonathan feels that now God will restore David's, and everything is going to go down with Saul. So it says on number 14, if I am still alive, show me the steadfast love of the Lord, that I may not die. 15, and do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever. When the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. 16, and Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, May the Lord take vengeance on David's enemy. So, who was the main enemy at that time? The main who was against David, it was his father, Jonathan's father, right? But Jonathan didn't have to see a contract or a document where David signed, right? That he was gonna have part of his household or part of his family, that his family was gonna be still being part of the kingdom, right? Of the house. So he makes a promise right there. 2 Samuel 9, 1-7. Are we there yet? Okay, so it says, all things are settled now, and now David remembered, and David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul? Then I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may know, that I may show the kindness of God to him? The kindness of God. He wanted to show the kindness of God, right? Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled, and he's crippled in his feet. And the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Leobar. Excuse my pronunciation on those words. Number 5. The king David sent and brought him from the house of Machir and the son Amiel at Lo Debar and Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and held him and fell on his face and paid home. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan, and I will restore you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always. Did he fulfill the promise? He did. He didn't have to sign anything. Why? Because Jonathan trusted on David's word, and he made a promise, and he did what he said he would do, right? What other person do we know Then he gives instructions to the servant of this kid, but he from that point on he still can't go to have dinner and to join David's table, right? But he didn't cut off the genealogy from Jonathan because he made a promise. But going into another example, who do we know that was a really, really good friend of God?
Abraham.
Yes, Abraham. I love that because when I was reading it, it just I want to see it from a point that let's go please to James 2:23. Are we there yet? Okay. Good. So, one day, God just decided to talk to Abraham, right? He gives revelations in his dreams, and he said, I will make you a great nation of you, right? I will give you great, great descendants, and he said, and Abraham just keep on thinking, would that be true? Would that be possible? And not only that, but when he said, God told him, you go from this city to the other city, he didn't even question it, right? That's how close it was his friendship with God. And when he said, when he told him, Abraham, you are going to have a kid, and then he said, well, you know, God, I do trust you, but there is a certain age that I still have, right? And I'm not going to get any younger, but he will just still trust him, right? Okay, so it says in James, 2:23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God, right? That's how close it was. So now, let's see. Let's say I am your friend. Would you give me your son? Not really, right? Not Lisbeth, that's what you say. But Abraham trusted him. And he said, you need to sacrifice the kid. Mm-hmm. How many of us will do that? And he went and walked with him until the end. He didn't doubt. He trusted all the time. And when I read this, it's like crazy, right? It's let's go there, please. I love this this story. Genesis 22. And we're going to start on number one. All right. So, number one until the 13. It says, after this thing, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, I just love how my Bible, it has Abraham, but exclamation point. And Abraham is just like, here I am, sir. Right? How many of us would like to start answering that way? I'm not usually like that. So number two, he said, take your son, your only son, and he made sure he says, how many? The only one, right? Take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, in case you didn't remember that, you love him, right? And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here, and the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Wait a minute. If he was going to be the sacrifice, how is that they were going to come back again, right? But he's already trusting in God, right? And then it says, number six, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so he was ready. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." I wish I could hear when he said that, right? I would be trembling or very concerned. He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Oh my God. Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order to bound Isaac, his son, and lay him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But, here comes the big but, I love this, right? The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son for me," right? And then the 13, it says, Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram. So, a ram caught in a tick by his horn, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So he walked with his son until the end. And that's how close it was, the relationship. Adam and Eve did? Adam and Eve, right away they hide, right? They blaming each other, and they didn't even ask for forgiveness. And at some point, they wish somebody else would have done it instead of them. But we see in Abraham the steadfastness, you know, that the security that he had, that God was going to walk him through. He was going to provide until the end. And we see that his close relationship with him told him the answer, right? He never doubted of God helping or God providing until the end. If it would have been my son or my niece or someone else, I'm not sure I would have done it, but he did because of that close relationship he had with God. That's the relationship which you seek with God. You know, through Jesus Christ, we seek for them. We ask for revelation, inspiration daily. We seek His mercies and also His blessings, right? He will always provide. Let's close in John 15, 10 to 13. I want to say something else about Abraham. You know, when Isaac was already to get married, and he sent the servant to bring the how do you call the bride? Okay, so he sent them, and the servant didn't believe in God, I don't think so, because he said, Lord of my master, he said, "If you really love him, show me your grace. Please show me this girl that I need to find. Are you listening to this? He says, if you love my master, please show me the girl. And I'm like, he's not even praying to God like, please help me, right? No. And what did God do? He chose his love for Abraham right away. Right? That is awesome. So we're closing on John 15:10-13, please. And that will be the gospel. And it says, if you keep my commandment once again, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Not only a little bit, not just a portion of it, full. Yes, joyful. And 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not as, you know, as you help me or as I think you deserve it. No, you deserve my entire love because that's what Jesus said. My entire trust, because that's what Jesus said. Not the way I think or the way that the world will sense, but the way I love you. How did Jesus love us? He gave his life. Right? And then he says, and greatest love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Right? How do we give lives for our friends? When we give our time, when we make ourselves available for people, when they call, and like Charlie and I were saying, 2 o'clock in the morning, texting you, please pray for me. Well, I am praying for you. And I feel what you feel. And I am with you. And know that God is also with you. That is the first thing that we have to tell them. And we have to let them know that God is so trustable, that is the friendship, or the close friendship, we should seek with him. And God bless you. That was
all right. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The I think for Abraham, the lesson of the sacrifice of his son was a close parallel to the sacrifice that God made for his only begotten son. And once Abraham got to see that, his believing increased. It was just wonderful that God was able to teach him that in a way that we all could learn from. It was, God was not wanting a human sacrifice, and that was never a part of the plan. But it was important for Abraham to be the father of all believers, that he understood the sacrifice that God was going to make in his son, Jesus Christ. So, now we're going to receive our love offering, and I want to continually show you how much I appreciate that in your abundant sharings. Because of your abundant sharings, we are able to do things that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And we're doing our best to steward them in a godly manner. And I believe that as we bring our petitions before God, he meets them in an abundant way. So, Father, thank you for continuing to show us an abundance in all things. But most importantly, Father, that we have an abundance of your grace, and that we walk in that grace, and that we abide in it, and that we have our hearts and thoughts centered in that wonderful grace that you've given us. And Father, it's wonderful that even in your word you call sharing with one another in this way a grace. So thank you so much. And bless your son, Jesus Christ. And we just love him, and we lift up ourselves to you in his name. Amen. Thank you.